Today, North Korea fired off over 20 missiles, the most ever in a single day. They all fell into international waters, though one came close to a South Korean island, triggering air raid sirens and sending residents to huddle in shelters. And in response, South Korea fired missiles into international waters close to North Korean territory. This did not come out of nowhere. Tensions have been escalating. Let's bring in Here and Now security analyst Jim Walsh. He's been watching it all. He's senior research associate at MIT's Security Studies Program. Welcome, Jim.
Thanks so much, Robin. And you put your finger on it. This has been building for several months now. Just this past May, President Biden visited South Korea and the newly elected president and pledged to support bigger military exercises. And the U.S. and South Korea had the largest exercises they had since 2017 back in August. And then again this week, the U.S. and South Korea began what's called Operation Vigilant Storm. In response, or as part of what it planned to do anyway, North Korea had launched missiles to express its displeasure, as they had done other things earlier in the year, launching a missile over Japan. So back and forth, it's gone. We used to have an agreement that said no major tests, no major military exercises, but we're headed in the opposite direction.
Right.
More tests, more exercises.
Well, and first of all, backing up just a second, the North Koreans conducted 28 missile tests so far this year. And again, that's in a year. In this one day, there were over 20 missiles. Do we know what kinds of missiles? Because that's important.
Yes, it can be important. And there's a large continuum here. So you have short-range missiles, you know, at its most basic, short-range missiles, medium and intermediate-range missiles, the intermediate being able to reach as far as Japan, and then potentially intercontinental ballistic missiles. Those are the ones that can travel halfway across the planet and presumably reach the United States or other targets. And so in addition, they've been testing how those missiles are launched. They can launch them from sea. They can launch ballistic missiles and cruise missiles, which fly sort of a flatter trajectory at a lower altitude. So the testing has been multifarious in all ways, for all lengths, in all types.
Well, we know the UN Security Council resolutions ban North Korea from testing ballistic missiles and nuclear devices. Obviously, they are not at all concerned about that ban. But you talked about these, you know, the reasons for these tests, that they are watching the U.S. and South Korea have these military exercises. How can these tensions be reduced? South Korea needs to be made to feel safe. North Korea seems to need to be made to feel safer as well. How does this get reduced?
Yeah, well, I think everyone has their grievances here, and it has a long history to it. So on the one hand, North Korea is definitely responding to what the U.S. and South Korea does, and this South Korean president is taking a more forward-leaning approach than his predecessor. But also, North Korea is trying to build its capabilities. I mean, it's pretty clear it wants to have nuclear weapons and missiles, but we are looking at them and say, hey, they're a threat to us, so we are taking measures to try to deter them, and on it goes. And I got to tell you, at this point, it sort of feels like the parties have their scripts, and they're playing their roles, and they're reading their lines. But, you know, when the play's over, I'm not really sure how it's all going to end. I mean, yeah. Is North Korea going to achieve what it wants by doing this? Seems unlikely. And are the U.S. and South Korea going to deter a North Korean nuclear test? They haven't so far, and I think that seems unlikely.
Well, as long as things keep falling in the ocean. But I just want to, as long as we have you, we want to look at Russia for a moment, because there have been worries about whether Russia might resort to using nuclear weapons in the war on Ukraine. Russian forces occupied nuclear power plants in Ukraine last week, made a false flag claim that Ukraine was planning to use a dirty bomb, leading people to think, you know, that it was Russia that was going to make an explosive with radioactive materials. And now we have this report today that senior Russian military officials discussed how they might use a nuclear weapon in Ukraine. And Russian President Vladimir Putin was reportedly not in that meeting. Your thoughts on this?
I got to say, Robin, I was sort of shocked when I read that this morning. Now, it's a single report. It's a report from the New York Times. It didn't give the source of the intelligence. It may have come from NATO, because it references that there was heightened concern in Washington and allied capitals. Here's the way I look at it, and I've studied nuclear weapons decision-making for a long time. We have the fact that Russia has nuclear weapons, and a doctrine to use them if they're losing. And we have now reporting that there have been some discussions at some level. And I think that's concerning.
Jim Walsh, Here and Now Security Analyst, Senior Research Associate at MIT's Security Studies Program. Jim, thanks as always.
Thank you.